This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate. Hey, are you looking to budget your food expenses ahead of summer? Things are expensive now. It feels like when you go to the grocery store, everything is much more expensive. So that's why you should switch to Every Plate. It is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping. There are no hidden fees. You can count on great value week after week. You can be like me. You can get some spicy chicken. You can get some herb chicken. You can get burgers. There's so many things you can get through Every Plate because you can go to the website and you can pick out what you want for the next following week. You can even add on things. I added a huge tub of macaroni to my order and it was fantastic. You can choose Every Plate over takeout and save money while still enjoying quick, satisfying meals. Their meals are 50% cheaper than your average fast casual meal. Fewer trips to the grocery store or fewer trips to the restaurant. Your meals are ready in 30 minutes or less, meaning you can make meal times fit to your schedule, not the other way around. If you're looking for 26 tasty and affordable recipes every single week, why not try Every Plate? Get $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE149. And you're going to be saving up to like $110 in value. Everyplate.com/podcast, code SUPEREFFECTIVE149. Get started today. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 565th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello. Happy Mother's Day, since we're recording on a Mother's Day, those to celebrate, and the only holiday that exists in the Pokemon world. We will not be doing this for Father's Day because there are no fathers, apparently, unless you're in Hoenn. Hoenn is the only place that has a father.
Norman.
I was thinking about this today. Like, how are we still only dealing with mothers at home? Like, we still have this weird homemaker mom only world in Pokemon. So I restarted Sword and Shield again, and I'm like, wait, we're still here. Was there a dad in Scarlet Violet? No, there's still no dads. What is going on in this universe?
Nintendo video game trope.
Hey, and as someone who grew up with a single mom, it was pretty accurate for me.
There you go. Hannah's also here.
Yep. Nope, I'm here. I did all my chores this morning, so I get to go and celebrate my mom later this afternoon.
Nice. I moved to a different state, so I didn't have to be around my parents. It worked out well.
Also fair. I saw my mom this morning for brunch and my mother-in-law last week because they're traveling this week.
All right. So on today's show, we have Chestnut. Coincidence or not, that one of the least popular. I'm not saying that people don't like Chestnut. I'm just saying Chestnut is very not popular compared to the other Pokemon out there. Chestnut, the weekend of Breath of the Wild, where I think the entire internet shut down to play that game.
Breath of the Wild.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me? Tears of the Kingdom. Breath of the Wild 2. Tears of the Kingdom.
Breath of the Wild 2, Tears of the Kingdom, or as every time I see the abbreviation, I think TikTok.
Yeah, I also think TikTok when I see the abbreviation. We have some Pokemon Go news, but not about the game, about a pretty big community shutting down. And then we have some new characters coming to Unite, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Some new characters in Pokemon Masters, some new anime coming. And if you are going to the North American International Championships in, unfortunately, Ohio, we can give you the best information on how to navigate Ohio, I guess.
Can we? I'm not sure.
Well, you
I'm
know,
not sure we're the best people for that.
I mean, the convention center wise, not surrounding the convention center. You're on your own for that. All right, so they announced Chestnut. This was weekend one of that. It will come back on the 18th, well, technically the 19th, but UTC time. So if you're in America, it would be the evening of the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Chestnut was rock Terra type. meaning it was weak to like water and grass and fighting, and whatever else Swark is weak to, steel. There's one more, ground, I believe. Ground and water are weak to grass, which is its primary Terra type. Steel is weak to fighting, which is his other. I guess people didn't know this. Chestnut is grass fighting for the. It does have a secondary Terra type. It's fighting.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who could have possibly known a Pokemon that's been around for how many years now?
10, I think. X and Y is almost 10.
10?
I think already? It would be 10 in America. Yeah, well, that was the first worldwide game. So,
yeah. 10,
I believe this October it would be. I think that's correct.
Was that 2013?
Yeah, I think so. When I was making the thumbnail for my like raid help guide or whatever, I didn't realize like Chestnut is just like a bald dude. He like doesn't have anything on it. He doesn't have like ears or anything. He doesn't have like any horns. Yeah, but the helmet doesn't have any like, it's just a circular helmet on
his
head.
Yeah, it was October 12th, 2013. Yike.
It's just one big old helmet.
It's a big helmet. He's a paladin. He's protected.
Yeah, I think some people thought they were going to make him steel type, which would have fit the paladin theme. But whatever. I mean, like, rock made sense for the, you know, bring water Pokemon and then forget that he's actually... We're 6 months in this game. People still really struggling with Terra types here. Just, you know, I remember back when X and Y was coming out. I don't know if you two remember, correct me or add on, but because that was a worldwide game,
yeah,
there were so many rumors that this was the time. They were like, X and Y, they're going to change the starter Pokemon. We're no longer fire, grass, and water.
Yep.
We're going to get like dark, psychic, and fighting. Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it was dark, psychic, and fighting.
I was actually excited about that.
And that rumor was pushed,
but I was excited for it
so hard. And then it ended up coming out where they were water, grass, fire. And then a subset, a group of fans were like, we're so sick of this. I wish they would mix it up. It is very clear now that the reason it is water, fire, and grass is because we all went online. You guys can't hide it anymore. None of you guys know how typing works.
But it was also dark, fighting, and psychic.
It was, yes. The final evolutions were what the, like...
So we weren't wrong, were we? No, we weren't, Mr. Sassy Pants, thinking you got everybody. Nah, we were right. We knew what it was going to turn into.
I didn't get anyone. They got themselves when they locked into a Garchomp against, like, a Froslass. They outed themselves at not knowing type weaknesses
Look,
and resistances.
Terra type means all the moves and everything changes. That's what Terra means. It's a completely different Pokemon. All rules are off. Just go with the flow. What do you feel should be super effective? And the game will probably allow that to happen.
Whew, it's a wild time. I liked the theme they were going with Chestnut. They give it three different ways to boost its physical defense.
Mm-hmm.
Although the last two or three Terra raids, the raid boss doesn't like clear itself. It just clears you.
Well,
Chestnut never cleared itself. So
I'm gonna argue. It depends on how long you were in that raid.
Okay, go on.
Because I was in a random one that I thought, we have a slight shot at doing this. I was in that raid for nobody died, but it was the full timer.
All 10 minutes.
Because nobody could do anything to actually do enough damage because of the Pokemon they brought. And I was keeping everybody alive, which was my mistake. But I got really interested at that point. Like, how long can this keep going? And, you know, that's when I learned it had the move Curse. That at some point it does start clearing things because it's like, okay, you've been in this forever. We're going to just ramp this up. It starts critting a lot more. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense because I can't sit in here anymore. Like, I want to go. I want to leave this raid, but I'm morbidly interested in how long, if we can go the whole timer. And it actually, we went almost the entire timer until it started like clearing everything and critting everybody. And then it sort of chunked down towards the end. But I was in that thing for a long time.
It is day 213 of asking Game Freak to please put levels next to Pokemon before you enter into raids. I successfully did like 50 raids this weekend. I maxed out my rock type Terra shards or whatever. Maxed out my rare candy again. I had to sell. The one raid that I failed out of 50 was because a level 47 Annihilate joined. And there was... You just can't... You could be like, hey...
You're done at that point.
Yeah, like tell the person to put down their controller. They're not listening. You can tell by the Pokemon choice. You can tell by the level choice. There's no hope we have in this world.
But Steve, the lower the level, the less they take off time when they die.
Just that was like negative 6 attack and it was still one-shotting it. We had to reflect on
it. I mean, I will say the one that I was in for 15 years, everybody was at the appropriate level, which is why it lasted for so long. They didn't have any actual attacks. Like, they didn't have anything that was going to do anything. And I'm like, well, I'll just sit here and drop kick.
That's so weird. Usually randoms are so eager to attack.
Yeah, I honestly... I mean, and the thing is they were eager to attack, but they all brought bad type matchups. Huh, so they were all attacking, but it wasn't doing anything. And I'm
it
like,
all goes full circle.
I'm like, okay, here's a shiny Charizard that's doing something.
It's there. It's staying alive.
Staying alive. Yeah, I still adore these raids. I like building Pokemon for them. I like doing them with people. It scratches the itch that I needed leaving, or not leaving, but not having any time in my life for playing Final Fantasy or Destiny or any of these other games that have coordinated group. I will say coordinated group contents.
I mean, I did my what was that day, Thursday?
Yeah. You were in stream.
Yeah, I did Thursday. And then I was like, okay, we're done. I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah, I think if there are people like me who keep doing it until you get to 999 shards and I build like 6 different Pokemon because I'm like, oh, I'm feeling Appleton. I'm feeling Lurantis. Let me like I think that if there are people like me, they're probably very few and far in between. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah,
I think the majority of people are probably just doing it once.
And then when you can play with a good group, when you can play with people who are excited about it, it's a really good experience.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
I've talked to, all of my friends who have the game and have tried doing these raids, unless I send them to a group who knows how to do them, they kind of just get tired with building the Pokemon and with trying to do it at all. They will just get one through Wonder Trade and breed it that way.
I ran into a Vaporeon, 6-star Vaporeon, right before Chestnut. And I was like, oh, I can't connect to the internet. Because have you ever, like, saved in front of, like, a 6-star raid and then, like, oh, I'm going to invite Greg. And then as soon as you connect to the internet, my raid disappears.
Yeah.
Because it refreshes. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can't invite you guys. And it's not like I need, I was like, it's a water Vaporeon raid. Like, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But it's boosted Urba Mystica because Vaporeon's like one of like the 10 Pokemon that have like a higher chance of Urba Mystica. So I was like, ah, this sucks because I want to invite people just for the Urba Mystica. I went through it and I accidentally locked in the wrong Pokemon. And I was like, oh, I was going to bring Bellybolt. I accidentally brought Decidueye. I was like, that's fine. I got it to like a sliver of health. And then I was like, oh, you've been put to sleep. And I was like, okay, well, I'm out of heals. Last like 30 seconds, I literally just need to wake up and do one move, and of course I didn't wake up, so the raid failed.
What about your NPCs? They were there to help.
yeah. The Arcanine was intimidating that Vaporeon like no other. Too bad it's a special attacker. So I go back in. I go back in with Bellybolt. The sleep problem solved, but I ended up getting like crit twice. So again, I like needed one more turn, failed the raid. And then I was like, oh, let me just change the hell item, go back in. Same thing happened. I ended up getting crit and I died. And I was like, why? I should go back to the other held item. And then
impressively strong Vaporeon.
I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When Vaporeon
six star
setting up rain and then critting in the rain with Surf, it's unfortunate. I after that third fail of like, okay, well, the first one was my fault, kind of brought the wrong Pokemon. Second one, like, crit. It was, I don't know if you both have played Monster Hunter. It is like the Monster Hunter feeling. In Monster Hunter, you do like these really long hunts because Monster Hunter is like huge boss battles. And they're like 45 minutes long, unless you're like really good. You can come to like 12, 13 minutes. But there's nothing more frustrating in Monster Hunter than to go for almost all 45 minutes and then die the third time. And then it boots you out of like, you get nothing. You have died three times. Your 45 minutes are not refunded. Try fresh again. I think that is a real, we don't talk about this enough. Obviously, this has been a problem since day one, but like, I'd imagine somebody who doesn't have like a lot of Pokemon built or a lot of resources and they lose to a six star raid three times.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're probably done, right?
Like, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done. I mean, this exists. I mean, it's one of the weird things that like, this was a problem in MMOs for large raids, right? Like, 24 or 40 man content was never a guarantee that you're going to get to the end. And it was 3 to 4 hours at a time. And like, unless you were in it to like, I just want to complete this content because completion is the goal and I'm willing to do however long it takes. People dropped out all the time. Like, Final Fantasy 14 solved that problem by making different levels. Like, if you want to smash your head against the wall and be the best, then you're going to go do Savage content, because that is literally smashing your head against the wall until everybody can execute it exactly perfectly. And I don't have time for that in my life anymore. But they have other ways. But it's also the problem of, you know, I'll run into people who are like, I just hate doing raid content. And I always say, well, when do you do it? And if they're doing it on the weekends, I'm like, well, that's the problem. Because you're doing it with people who don't know what they're doing and you can't complete it. It is just, it is frustration after frustration after frustration. Nobody is in there explaining the moves to you because they also don't know. like when you get... This is the unique MMO feeling, is when you get in to a raid and it says two people are viewing the cutscene, which means it's the first time there and it's both healers. You're like, oh, boy, two new healers. I don't know. Can I get out of this? Should I accept the penalty for ditching right now? I don't know. Should I? But in this game, the problem that I think they're facing for an uphill climb is one of the only things that isn't PvP post game. The rewards aren't great after you do it once, and they themselves don't have a good way of explaining what's happening to people. And if you're trying to do it on your own, since it doesn't really ever give a lot of explanations, you are just hitting your head against a brick wall for nothing. In a lot of ways, like, you're getting things in game to make that stuff easier, but if you're discouraged from doing them, those rewards no longer matter. Because, fine, I got Terra Shards to make the other things, other raids easier, but I'm overrating. I don't want to do this anymore.
Are you talking about 7-star?
7-star, well, also 6-star, because, like, Urban Mystica is also sort of like a nebulous thing that if you don't go online and read about the perfect shiny sandwiches to make, it's like, okay, so I got this Mystica, what does it do?
You know what's crazy is I don't ever save before I like, run into a shiny Pokemon, because I'm always confident that I will catch it. I always have, like, enough resources, like, and whatever. But I will save before I make a sandwich using Herba Mystica, because I am not confident that the sandwich isn't going to fall apart and I'm going to lose my Herba Mystica boost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like,
well, it's also telling, like, people are like, just do open face sandwiches. I'm like, that defeats the purpose of this game. If putting the bread down...
It's not even the open face. It's like when you're trying to like hold a sausage and then the tablecloth is like, and you're like, what is happening?
You know, Maridon's zooming around you like, you need to calm down. I'm making a sandwich.
There's like this weird balance, though, to go back to the raid stuff of like, so in 5-star raids, Urban Mystica is an 11% drop. Out of all 5-star raids, obviously there are some that have a higher drop. And then in 6-star raids, it's only a 13% drop. So it's really not that much higher. Mm-hmm. So I think there is like the, we understand that 6-stars is harder, so we don't want to make it like more, like you can still get it in 5-stars, like just, you know, it there's not a huge difference between 11 and 13. But there's also like the, like always, I'm going to use Destiny. In Destiny, there was something called like the Nightfall. And you could only do it once a week. It was a 3-person strike. So strikes were just get from point A, get to point B. There's a middle boss. There's an end boss. There's a bunch of enemies in between. And that was it. And so all Nightfall was a harder version of a strike. So it's ultimately like 5-stars and 6-stars. All 6-stars is a little bit harder, right? A little bit higher. They might have a little couple moves. So everyone knows how to do the strike. It's just the Nightfall is a lot harder. And you can only do it once a week and you get better rewards. You would want to do that with other people because your other option is to do the Nightfall by yourself or do the Nightfall with 3 people. There's no difficulty change except that you have 2 other people shooting guns with you. And there were some people that were like, I want to do this by myself because I want it to be as hard as possible. That's cool. You don't get any extra rewards for that. But like, why would you like, for me, it's like, I've done these a million times. I don't need to like prove to my LinkedIn that I'm doing this solo. Like, I would like to get it done 20 minutes faster because I got things to do. So, of course, I would want to do it with other people. But at the time, there was no matchmaking in Destiny for Nightfall. You had to go to a subreddit or something or a website to like pair up with 2 other people because it was slightly harder.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing that they made in Pokemon. Like, it is so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it during that Vaporeon raid, I can't lower its special attack, lower its defenses, remove rain, prevent sleep, and attack all at the same time. I wish my NPCs were doing one of those 4
they
things.
They are not.
But they're
they
not.
Are not. That is not what they're there for. They're for intimidation and buffing their own stats.
But yeah, that's kind of the thing is like, yeah, I could do this solo and like, I did it solo, but like, who are you impressing? Like, it has been designed for group content. Yeah. And I get if you don't have somebody to do it with. The online experience isn't there yet either.
Right. I mean, there are people who do solo dungeons in MMOs, right? Like, they go in by themselves, like, I'm going to prove to you that I can do this, which is like, cool. I'm glad that you tested your own skill against it. I'm glad that made you happy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like, I don't want to devote the 4 hours to doing it exactly perfectly and starting over and over and over and over and over again. I just want to get in with a group of people who know what they're doing to burn through the content so that I get my rewards for the week and move on. At some point, Pokemon is going to have to deal with their communication problem in game. Because what you can say in game is nothing. And at bare minimum, having pre-programmed announcements would be really nice as a way to signal to people I am doing this. So that, for example, if I'm in a 7-star raid and I'm going to heal cheer, I heal cheer, and then 2 other people heal cheer at the exact same time. Because we all saw it. But there was no way for us to tell each other, I'm going to do it. So we all did it and wasted it. So, like, it
Nintendo,
would be nice.
Nintendo and Pokemon still think, like, everyone's sitting on the couch together. And that's not happening.
I mean, that's what they want. Again, it's like how you want people to play the game and how people are actually playing the game are often 2 very different things. And basic, like, I get you don't want open communication because it's quote unquote family, blah, 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 blah. And you don't want.
Oh, if there was open communication, whatever. I would have been banned from Nintendo Online from like everyone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get the reasons why, but you can still do pre-programmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things. Pre-written like, messages.
They have pre-programmed ones in Unite that people tend to ignore anyways, but at least you're able to sort of signal, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So at least you give some information away. Whereas in this, like, unless
And even the weird thing is like, even if I'm raiding with your community, like it is a one way. It is a one way communication. There's one person that is speaking and the rest of us are either taking time to try to type fast on a separate device or just like, I'm going to trust that they're listening to the same thing I am. And I'll make my decisions based off that because it is still a one way broadcast. And I can do nothing to make this better, but hope. And that is a frustrating, frustrating, frustrating experience if you're trying to do it on your own and you just want to get it done. Like, I don't care. I go into randoms. I just goof around in randoms. And if I do it, I'll catch my chestnut. If we don't do it, that was a interesting way to spend 5 minutes. I'm seeing what people in the community are doing. Or in the case of the one raid, 7.5 to 8 minutes. I lost track of time. But for a lot of people who value their time more, mainly adults or a lot of people who are, you know, want to get this one thing this one weekend, this is probably a very frustrating experience for them. I know a person that I always relied on who was like would do every raid has reached out to me like, I've not been doing them. Can you just give me an egg? Because I find them frustrating. And I'm like, yep, I no problem getting you eggs. I understand. Like, you didn't have time and it's too frustrating to try to do on your own.
Have either of you used the Nintendo Communication mobile app that they made for Splatoon?
Yep.
I used it once, like the first week of, I think it was Splatoon 2, right? It launched with?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I used it for Splatoon.
How'd that go?
I used it for one other. I don't remember.
I immediately switched to Discord after like 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's how it went. Not great.
Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of not great, but this announcement is pretty great. new characters come into Pokemon Unite.
Yeah.
We have Umbreon, Leafeon, and Inteleon all coming to Pokemon Unite. This is off NintendoEverything.com. Umbreon will arrive first on May 25th. Leafeon will follow on June 8th. I don't think Inteleon has a date.
No, everybody is assuming it is the last week of June.
Yeah, they usually do every like 3 weeks for a character, right?
And so the assumption is it'll be around June 23rd, 20 somewhere in there. It's also wild that we're not going to have all the evolutions except for the Gen 1.
Yeah.
The 3 and Gen 1 have not been touched.
There's no way they don't do all three of those at the same time or in a row or something.
The thing is they're doing a big Eevee event. So people are like,
that's what I would expect.
They're going to do it. And they're not. It's just these five. And we finally have a team of all five, except, you know, none of them are support because Leafeon is supposed to be a speedster.
It says the Eevee appeal Rama battles in which all players on both teams play as Eevee evolutions such as Espeon, Umbreon, Leafeon, Glaceon, and Sylveon. Wild Eevee will be scattered all over the map, and a Gigantamax Eevee will make its appearance. That's really cool. Players can obtain prizes, including Unite license puzzle pieces, which can be used to unlock licenses for Espeon, Glaceon, or Sylveon once 10 puzzle pieces have been obtained. This will start on May 25th and go till June 23rd.
And this is like the Pikachu Unite event where it was a giant Pikachu in the middle and everybody had to be Pikachu. Except everybody does have to be Eevee, but you pick what you evolve into differently.
I would absolutely expect all of the evolutions to be available for that event. That's weird.
Oh, no. Kanto fans in shambles right now.
They are, from what I know, it's not a 5-team. It is a 4-team for the Eevee-Rama event because Umbreon will be released on May 25th when that starts. So they didn't do 5 because when it starts, you can only have 4.
Oh, and then I see.
On June 8th, the 5th gets released in the middle of the Eevee event, but they're not going to switch it to 5. So
didn't they just wait until Leafeon?
Who knows? Who knows the decisions? Yeah, this last patch, if everybody who's reading about the last patch was very, very bad. And they still haven't fixed Zacian, and they took away some things.
Why would they need to fix Zacian when they fixed Comfey?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Comfey people are mad. Which, granted, Comfey was really, really broken. But the bigger problem is still Zacian. I mean, they sort of nuked Comfey into the ground to deal with the Zacian problem instead of fixing Zacian, right? Like, Comfey paid the price for Zacian a little bit unfairly, I think.
As they should have.
They just, like, burn it down, burn that little thing to the ground.
I think if there's a Pokemon that would bring an influx of players either to the game or back to the game, it would be Umbreon. Umbreon, Espeon are incredibly popular EV evolutions. Obviously, Sylveon is also very popular. Leafeon and Glaceon are not very popular compared to the eight of them. Again, this is not me saying that I dislike Leafeon and Glaceon. It is just the standard fact of when we rank all these EVs, which we have multiple times, multiple websites have done, usually Umbreon and Espeon are at the top, the Kanto ones are in the middle, and the Gen 4 ones are at the bottom. It's just this, usually how it goes.
Yep.
With Sylveon and, topping it on the top of the list pretty frequently at this
pretty
point.
Frequently.
Yeah, pretty frequently. Yeah.
And Umbreon, just everybody knows, it's going to be a defender.
Yeah, what's it do? What's its defense tactic? Does it set up a giant moon in front of people?
Yeah, it
summons Murkrows.
It summons Murkrows around. What all can it do? Now, we talked about this before. It's got super high. One of the things that has got high defenses. It has an ability to steal shields as its ultimate. So for all of the shield users like Serena and Lapras and all those things, it can steal those, basically get rid of them, but still doesn't get rid of the Rayquaza one.
Visual shield it's stealing?
Yeah, so you can tell when everybody has a shield because it's got the ball around it, so it takes that away. It's got Mean Look, which traps the Pokemon into a zone, which it can't leave. That's a thing. And I think if Umbreon is in that black zone, its moves get boosted. And then it's got Foul Play, which hits the Pokemon. It decreases their movement speed. And I think that one's one that can chain, so you can hit a bunch of things. It's got Wish for recovery, so you can make a wish to an ally Pokemon. And so it gets reduced damage and then heals, I think. And then it has Snarl, which
reduces your special attack by -1.
It decreases their attack, special attack, and movement speed. Speed. It also gives Umbreon a shield, and then the Moonlight Prance absorbs all the shields of opposing Pokemon and takes it to themselves. So if it can hit right in the middle of a group that has shields up, it will take all of those and put it around itself.
Seems very situational.
It is very situational, and apparently doesn't work on the Rayquaza shield, which is a big bummer.
But if you do it before the Rayquaza shield, you'll win the Rayquaza.
Possibly. It's good, like, Umbreon is good because there are a few shield users that make them incredibly difficult to take down. And I think, like, Eldegoss gives shields as one of the options, which it would steal. And does Comfey do shields, or is it just straight healing? I don't remember if Floral Healing does a shield. Floral Healing does do a shield. So it's also a way to steal, like, it's also sort of a way to deal with Comfey. Like, Comfey putting a shield up on something, it jumps in and takes it. Which opens up a lot for damage.
So my Comfey Zacian can, with an Umbreon next to me, can steal the shield of your Comfey Zacian.
Yeah, yes.
Finally.
We'll see how well it plays. It's going to be tough to defeat and take down the reigning king of defenders, which is Lapras right now. Lapras is just literally everywhere. Everybody's
literally
on the back of
because
Lapras.
It's just slipping yes. and sliding across yeah. that map.
Boy, that thing is tough to deal with. Both Lapras and Gudra are so hard to take down because they heal themselves so much. But yeah, we'll see how Umbreon, if it comes in souped up. I imagine that it will come in OP like they always do, especially since it's starting the EV event.
You gotta sell those characters.
Gotta sell them characters.
Yep, that's how that works.
And then you nerf them 2 weeks later.
Yep. Except unless it's Zacian. Then you don't. The other thing that has changed is super competitive people, if you're seeing this, are complaining because you can no longer spy on the jump pad remotely. So there was a thing competitors would do is you would, as you were running there, you would look over to see who's on their base and then who was going on jump and which way they were jumping, because it helped you get intel for positioning. And that is no longer something people can see. They removed that. So a lot of competitors are really, really, really mad right now. That's like tier level play, but it is believed it's changed because of potentially the sniping actions that Inteleon is going to be able to do.
Interesting.
That they may have removed it to deal with what that Inteleon will be like a true MOBA sniper who will have access to view the whole map and take shots at things. That is all like these people trying to piece together their decisions and what they would do, because the only other sniper that exists in game right now is Decidueye. So they're sort of thinking like, you know, its signature move is snipe shot. They're probably trying to deal with adding another sniper to the game. But a lot of people are like really mad at Unite right now because that last patch was pretty poor. It just.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone excited.
No. And like they did weird buffs, like Pyro Ball Cinderace got a buff for no reason. Like,
well, you
nobody
know.
Was complaining. It was fine. It
you
wasn't
gotta
great,
have your popular starters always good, right? Like Charizard has to always be good. You gotta.
I mean, Cinderace was never bad. Like, it was never a bad thing.
Not
like,
good enough though.
You played against a Cinderace. Cinderace was one of the easier ones to play. It was just like you just point and shoot. That's all you had to do. There was not a lot going on there. And it got a buff. And then they just decided to buff the heck out of Glaceon. Why? Reasons. Sure. Cool.
Gotta make up for Diamond and Pearl, Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl.
Yeah, apparently.
Something had to.
Well, we will take a quick break. When we come back, we got a little bit more news. So hold your horses, hold your mud brace. We'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Brilliant. Brilliant.org is the best way to learn math and computer science and computers all interactively. Things with computers, you can learn them.
Brilliant has thousands of lessons from foundational and advanced math to AI, data science, neural networks, and more. There are new lessons added monthly. I've used Brilliant in the past because I was someone who actually liked doing math in school. I like coming to a concrete answer there. So when I felt like I wasn't having enough of a concrete answer in different things in my life, say at the beginning of the pandemic, I subscribed to Brilliant and was able to just solve a fun little math or physics problem every day. And I don't know, I had fun, I enjoyed it, and I felt like I was renewing skills that may be applicable to jobs in the future. So I would say Brilliant is an enjoyable experience.
Well, if you want to do math and learn intuitively, at brilliant.org/PKMNcast, that is our special link. Give it a shot. See if you like it. Try everything that they have to offer. Learn math, learn about computers. Do all sorts of things. You know, learning new skills is great. So go to brilliant.org/PKMNcast to start your 30-day free trial. And the first 200 people will get 20% off their annual subscription.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. Stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. Anything, Greg. Anything. Your products, your content, even your time.
Squarespace is the best site for making handcrafted websites.
What handcrafted website are we going to make this week, Will?
Well, how's about a primer for people who are getting ready to go to South Korea who know absolutely nothing about South Korea?
Hey, that sounds good. What sort of things do we need to include? Because we'd have to have maybe videos?
Also, a list of American restaurants that you can find in South Korea, because there's no way that Steve would ever eat anything.
You know, and what makes that easy is Squarespace has a ton of features in which we could have videos, we could have people submit an email suggestions of best American-esque restaurants in South Korea. True. All of these things can be done super fast, super quick, and super simple using Squarespace. And we will call it South Korea 101. We'll workshop the name.
Yeah. You can head over to squarespace.com/PKMNCAST for your free trial. And when you're ready to launch, you can use offer code PKMNCAST to save 10% off your first purchase of website or domain. So you can still, you know, work out what you want that domain to be. You want to build your own website, build your brand, sell your time, sell anything else. Maybe not sell anything at all. Maybe you just want a simple blog post. Yeah. And that's cool too. You can head over to squarespace.com/PKMNCAST and use offer code PKMNCAST when you're ready to launch. And we are back from our break. The end of an era. I don't know actually how much this is our Pokemon Go news, except not really about the game, more about a community.
About the community.
I think it's important, even if you don't play Go. Well, I don't know. Important, depending on how you view things or how you want to spin it.
It also depends on how much you paid attention to this side of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, this is a very hardcore side of Pokemon Go. So we're talking about the Silph Road. This is end of an era. After 7 extraordinary years, the Silph Road team is ceasing operations. Thank you all for this remarkable journey. This was posted by... I don't know how to say their name. Dromps. No one else has to say their name. But anyways, they started the Silph Road before Pokemon Go even came out. The Silph Road was a website as they geared up for Pokemon Go. I met them at the first Pokemon Go Fest. I talked to them for a little bit. I saw them at, I believe, the second and third Go Fest. It was all in Chicago. And they make this post saying that exactly a year ago, they decided to go with a sponsorship with Niantic. And Niantic would help pay for their cost of the Silph Road's operation. And because Niantic was paying for the cost, the Silph Road decided to remove all the ads from their website. They say all good things must come to an end. Niantic's sponsorship has been concluded. It was exactly 1 year. So that there was no surprise there. If you look at their post history, they posted exactly 1 year ago announcing the Niantic thing. And that's been a year later. And it was a year contract. Or I don't know if contract is the right word, but probably contract because money was involved.
Yeah, it's probably a contract. Yeah, most things are contracts.
And they said, after considering the mounting financial constraints facing our team, along with the momentum and landscape of the game in 2023... Also, I think on the podcast last week, I said 2013 and neither of you corrected me.
I almost did. I noticed, for the record.
I probably wasn't paying attention.
Our team has come to the bittersweet conclusion that it is time to close. So the Silph Road is a couple things. It's funny because I'm pretty sure last week when we talked about the Larvesta hatch rates, I said, we're reading this off the Silph Road website, which no one ever goes to. They just go to the subreddit. And now the website is closing. So that was very ironic.
That's why. It was us. We killed it.
I mean, you go to the Silph Road for other things.
Yes. I don't know if you used those other things, Hannah. They had like a nest atlas. They had like a community map. They had their little like... collect badges
from
other...
They had their whole trainer cards thing, and you could get badges from checking into community days. They also were the foundation of the grassroots PvP, mm-hmm. which is what's really kind of shaking up a lot of the community behind the scenes there.
On a side note, it doesn't matter how good your grassroots are when the game itself is broken.
There is that, too. But grassroots PvP was actually pretty thorough. They hosted a lot in their... end of an era post, they talk about how many PvP tournaments they hosted through Silph Road, and it was over 135,000 tournaments, which is wild.
Yeah, that's a lot.
As of this post, 820,000 people are subscribed to the subreddit. Although in the grand scheme of things, 800,000 is a fraction of the Pokemon Go player base.
Yeah, it's tiny.
It is, to me, like, not surprising. 7 years is a long time. People change, they grow, their life changes, their interest changes, their hobbies change. There have always been people that, like, come to me and they're like, I can't believe you've been doing this podcast for 12 some years, or they'll say, like, you ever think you'll get sick of Pokemon? Like, I love it a lot. I don't think I'll ever get sick of it. Unless Pikachu comes out as a bigot or something, I think...
Boy.
I think I will always like the series, right? Pikachu's a good guy, though. Like, he's, you know, he's reliable. He's friendly. He's out there.
He's electric.
He's electric. He's out there doing things. I think the thing that bothered me about reading this is that they had options they decided not to go with, which,
yes,
is fine. But like, if the reason you're closing is like, they say, after considering the mounting financial constraints facing our team, which is money, along with the momentum and landscape of the game, that's, hey, we're not happy with the game right now. So we have two problems, and that's why we're closing. The first problem can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
You went 6 years without Niantic's money, and you were running ads, and you knew, because it was a contract, the end date of this.
Yeah.
So you had plenty of time to either renegotiate another contract, or...
Which I don't think Niantic would have done, because they're clearly moving everything over into Campfire.
True, true.
Yep.
Or you can restore the ads that you had back. Which, like, I have to deal with contracts all the time, right? Like, I have a contract with G Fuel. They pay me every single month, and at this point I use that money to pay my electric bill. So G Fuel is keeping the lights on here, which is very nice of them. And my contract with G Fuel is always 6 months. And if, you know, in July when my contract renews, if they decide not to, to be completely transparent, there's a lot of companies I've been dealing with that they don't want to give money anymore. Like, we're, you know, what some people believe we're about to hit a recession, whatever. A lot of companies are saying, hey, maybe next year we can talk money again, but this year we're, you know, tightening things up. And that could be the same for Niantic. When your contract is over, you either got to really prove that you're worth that money, or they have to prove to higher ups that they can continue paying you. That's whatever. But if they didn't want to go the ad route, going back to the Silph Road, I am sure they could have gone Patreon. They could have gone Ko-Fi, the coffee thing. There's so many revenues they could have gone to, I think, solve the money problem of that.
Which is maybe one of the reasons why the second half is so important. The momentum and landscape of the game. And how much that factored in.
There's a couple of things. Whenever there's an old business wisdom that if a restaurant makes it past a year, they're golden. And if a restaurant closes after it's been open for a long time, it's because they just don't want to do that restaurant anymore. Right. I have a feeling that some of this is the people who are in charge also don't want to do this much anymore, because if you made it 7 years, you can fix the money problems, and it would be tough, and it would be a difficult transition, but it's a transition that could happen if people who are running it were still invested in it. And so there's like two things I sort of look at this as well. Is one, they may no longer be invested in the game anymore because the game, it's 7 years old and it's not that exciting for a lot of people. You could also look at it like, you can find other people that you trust to take over the Silph Road and say, we're going to hand these off. And they decided not to do that. So there's like a couple of things that they aren't really talking about, which is their prerogative, that are just like unanswered questions. Like, you have 800,000 people. There's got to be people that you would have trusted to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people taking over the Reddit side. The research and things like that theoretically, for now, are going to continue on the Reddit side. The posts are still going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do think that this announcement has had an impact. A lot of people were pretty shocked by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that bothers me is, like, people blaming this on Niantic. And I don't see how this is Niantic's fault at all.
Mm-mm.
They opted to pay for their website, which, and their costs, and I don't know how much that is. I have no clue how much that is. My website's hosted on Squarespace. I think it's like $260 a year, and we run a Squarespace ad in the episode. And that means they give us every time we run a Squarespace ad, that means they like pay for our year of Squarespace, right? Like, I'm sure the Silk Road costs more than $260. I'm sure it costs more than $260 a year. They knew what they signed. They signed a 1-year mm-hmm. deal. They knew it was coming up. I promise you that Niantic didn't like let them know 2 days before the end of their contract right. that they weren't renewing. Like, they had options to go. I do think this is more the people who are running this just don't care anymore. And that is that is totally okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's just don't care. It could also just be are frustrated and dissatisfied with the way the game is going.
I don't know. Yeah, if you're level 37 in Pokemon Go after 7 years and you haven't posted on the sub, you've posted twice on the subreddit in 3 years and you're supposed to be the dude running it. I don't know if you care anymore. He's literally 37 in the game.
Yeah.
Got it.
There's a lot to look at it. And it is like, thank you for your impact. Great. You made the choice. You are making the choice to end it. There are other options, but the choice that you all decided as a leadership team, according to it, was to end, to take down the website, which meant there's a couple of things in there. You didn't want to do it anymore for your own reasons. And you didn't.
I mean, the last 7 years, he has 2 kids now.
Yeah,
that's huge.
And you also didn't have anybody that you felt you trusted enough to hand it off to.
Or just that the website features weren't as popular as yeah. or important as the research that was happening yeah. on the subreddit. Because yeah. the website features were really cool, but also I didn't know very many people who used them.
Right. Like, I you're paying them, for but, something that's
and you can
a
go
nice
in there
have.
And check the raid info, and that was super helpful. Mm-hmm. Or you would go and just check something for a couple of seconds, and that would be super helpful. But There were a lot of really thorough features on the website that were not used all that much.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think handing it off is hard. Mm-hmm. And not because of the ropes dude, but like when I was doing the Carve, which was my Monster Hunter podcast, there was a point where I was just too busy. I don't think I was doing a good job to the listeners of the Carve because I couldn't play as much as I wanted to. I didn't have time to sit down and like really research more complicated mechanics to feel confident about talking about it. And so when I was like, I can't do the Carve as well as I should be able to. And I went to, at the time it was Micah. And I was like, hey man, I'm going to be really busy. Like, I know, you know, we started this thing together. Would you like to, you know, take it? And here's all the assets, here's all the audio files, here's the website, here's the email. You can do whatever you want with it. And he was like, nope. He's like, I don't want to do any of that work. He's like, I just wanted to show up and talk.
Yep.
And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, well, like, who am I going to find to like host it, edit it, do the social media? And then when Will decided to come on, it was kind of the same conversation. Like, Sword and Shield were gearing up and coming out. I was like, I'm going to be really busy, Will. And I was like, you are playing Monster Hunter every day. I said the same thing to Will. I was like, do you want, like, he was already editing and doing podcasts. So at least, you know, he had that under his belt. I was like, do you want to take over the Carve? And he said the same thing. He was like, nope, I don't want that responsibility. And I would not be surprised if it was the same thing here where,
oh yeah,
where he went to people and was like, hey, do you want to take this over? And they're like, no, that's way too much work. They're because there are probably people on that subreddit that love the Silk Road. And they're probably like, I'm okay with like my one deep dive analysis once a month. That's my contribution. I don't want to do anything more. And I respect that. I get it.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot of work to.
Yep.
Like, there are PvP people on the Silk Road. I don't read those posts because I don't care. But when I click on them and they're like, they're like longer than the Bible. I'm like, man, you put a lot of work into this. That's awesome. I ain't reading it. But like, I got a huge respect that you calculated what a Alolan Executor can do against like a Chimchar in a raid. Like, that's awesome, man. But that ain't for me. But in no way is like the people that are like, this is Niantic's fault. Like, what?
No, this is.
Like, if that is your takeaway from this whole post, like, you are just the one-year
contract. The one-year contract definitely seems like it was, they could tell, they knew it was going to be a one-year contract. Niantic was spinning up Campfire. Campfire was clearly something that this was going to feed into, that their contract was revolving around the communities and starting working with the community programs, which was then what Campfire is made for. And they are very thoroughly pushing Campfire with their new game.
Yes, they sure are.
It's interesting because I think the only thing that I do think Niantic can be held accountable for was using a third party to buy them time to and using somebody else to sort of figure out how they wanted their product to do. Right. Like,
yeah,
that is kind of a business practice that I'm not particularly happy that people do all the time. It's like running art contests, you know, at least they paid them. But like
there was money that exchanged hands. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing this to buy yourself time to eventually cut them out. And like, that is not I don't really love that part of capitalism, but that is a known part of capitalism. So I will say, like, on Niantic part, I do find that those sort of business practices, while common, slightly shady, but I don't think they really hid that fact. Like, I don't think that was a hidden goal of theirs when you sign a 1-year contract and you're like, we're going to start this ambassador program and we're also going to be doing Campfire and we're going to be doing all these things. Like, it wasn't particularly hidden. I agree that it's not the best thing for companies to do, but it is a pretty standard business practice. So, like, hate capitalism more than hate Niantic.
Unlike an art contest, there was money that exchanged hands.
Right.
Like, hey, do a bunch of art. We'll only pick 3 of you, but we know that at least 30,000 will apply and help out.
Yeah.
I have no proof, but I strongly suspect that they probably tried to hand this off to somebody and they just couldn't find anyone that wanted to take so many responsibilities on, as well as like a cost thing. And again, I think they could have done this. They could have restored the ads, maybe said a Patreon is coming and you'll get like a bonus badge on like the subreddit or something, right? Like, they could have set up a situation where, like, okay, the money thing is going to be taken care of, but these are all the, like, the maintenance things that you have to do on the website or the subreddit. And, like, that is probably an 80-hour work week for one person to go between the website and the subreddit.
Take this incredibly low-paying part-time job.
I don't think it's a part-time job, though. I think it's a full-time job. I think it's a low-paying full-time job.
I mean, some things can be part-time. But, I mean, when often people are like, oh, you know, there's no money in X. Like, people ask me all the time, why don't you just not take another job and just write RPGs and make that content?
Yeah,
and
get that D&D Patreon going, Greg.
I'm like, because there's not enough money in it. Like, it's a good side hustle, but I would have to have so many things on all the time and be making so many deals and so many other things, or I can just get a full-time job and do it in my spare time when I am ready to make that content. Like, switching this, there is so much work that goes into a lot of these things that people already undervalue. Like, you don't understand. Like, if a corporation hired a person to do that much work, it's a full-time job with a salary, and most of your Patreon cash aren't doing it. Like, you're not going to get there. It is never as easy as people think it is. Like, monetary reasons also means people should be compensated for their time spent doing it, And most people aren't willing to compensate people for that time. Like, I'm about to crowdfund another game and people are like, well, how much are you paying yourself? I'm like, zero. I am paying myself zero. I have to pay everybody else who's done work for me first. And generally, I don't make money on this until much, much, much later. Like, I'm barely now turning a profit on Glitter Hearts. This has been 3 years.
I don't know how much will change in the sense of the subreddit itself. I think you will still see the people reporting like New Zealand's broken again. I think you will still see the Larvesta is 0.8% in eggs, right? Like those things weren't being done by the top people of the Silk Road because they were doing other things. Like, I think you will still see those long Bible verses of PvP stuff. But just like anything else, they can disappear because like think of like Leak Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could just stop doing graphics.
Mm-hmm. Leak Duck's website is also great. So if you were using the Silk Road, you can check out Leak Duck's website too.
I mean, Sarah B could just say I'm done at any moment.
That's true. But he could say I'm done and then cash in a giant paycheck because literally there are big I can't even say it.
Conglomerates.
Yes, there are big websites that will buy that website up in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
That's what actually happened to Maryland at one point is a big website came in and they bought Maryland and Maryland decided a couple years later that he wanted to start over and. He had to because he technically sold his website to somebody else. So he had to start over. Who knows if that was the right decision? It was probably the right decision for him at the time.
We'll see how much of an impact it'll have. But I do think that the announcement itself had a morale impact on players who knew of the Silk Road.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was like another
After the whole raid pass thing, after the way the events have just been bad and boring, I don't know. I think I said this last time. I love Pokemon Go. I have loved Pokemon Go and the community it has brought, but I'm not happy with how it's going. I'm not sure where it's going from here. And this kind of adds to that.
Apparently, a Niantic event in Seattle, there was pictures of creator. I was not invited, for the record. I am in the Niantic creator group. We've talked about this before. Didn't even know it was happening. I wasn't invited, probably because I say things that Niantic does not like, and you know we've seen creators get on the naughty list for Niantic. You know, remember when Trainer Tips did a whole Dragon Pokemon Go YouTube video and then all of a sudden Trainer Tips was not invited to the next Go Fest. I don't know, maybe they just didn't have the budget, maybe they're showing features that I wouldn't use anyways. I don't know why I wasn't invited. It's okay, it's not that big of a deal. Chestnut dramatically more important for me. Love the chestnut.
Get that good paladin.
I know there was a handful of creators that went out to Seattle to see some new features and they said they can't talk about it. I have no clue what it is. I mean, there's been rumors of what new features are coming, right? Like one of the rumors is shadow raids, I think. And then the routes thing has been rumored forever. Routes technically exist in Ingress, so like that wouldn't be a surprise. Anyone who was like, if you haven't heard, I think routes have been rumored for like 2 or 3 years.
Definitely a while. I don't know if it's been that long.
I think in Ingress, a route, from what I remember, is ideally when you get to like a big city. Well, this only benefits people in big cities. It will take you from one place to another to let you explore that city. And then because you're following a specific route in the city, you would get a reward at the end. So it's kind of like, you know, in Zelda or whatever, when you're doing mission from point A to point B, and then because you did them all, you get something at the very end, right? It's supposed to be like that IRL. Now, as I explained that, that probably sounds very cool to people. It exists in Ingress, and I think people like it in Ingress. But again, if you live in, you know, Appleton, Wisconsin, you're not using that feature.
I'm not even sure the city I live in would get that feature. I feel like that's the kind of thing that would only come to the biggest cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're traveling to Paris for the first time and you've never been, that's a cool way to explore that city. Is like, I have personally said on this podcast, I use Pokemon Go to pick a direction in a new city to walk to. Because I know, like, if I look at the Pokemon Go map and I see a bunch of spots, stops north, and I see nothing south, north seems like the better option. So, yeah, I have no clue what was shown. I don't know why I wasn't invited. Not that big of a deal, though, but I wish I could come on this show and be like, hey, Niantic showed some cool stuff. Be excited this year. On the audio podcast, I'm making some weird faces. I don't know.
We know they're showing off something.
Somebody has seen something, so hopefully yeah. It's good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, Pokemon Masters added Signasuit, Acerola, and Tapu Bulu, and then Lana and Tapu Fini, I believe, were also just added.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, Pokemon Masters still adding new stuff. We're probably not going to hear too much for another 2 months, I think, is then the anniversary.
Yep. Everybody says that Bulu is worth pulling for, but keep in mind that there's going to be a big event coming up soon, so you might want to also hold on to your gems.
Yeah, it kind of depends on what you want to do. Or how caught up with you on the gacha experience you are, whether... I don't know. I don't know what would be exciting for... I think this would be a 3-year anniversary for them?
Yeah.
The third
year.
Oh, 4 years?
Is it not the fourth?
Oh, I think you're right. I think it is fourth year.
It's 2019.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. It is four.
So it would be... gosh, I can't even remember. Like, who's the exciting repeats? How many Cynthias have...
We'll get Ash with Charizard because everybody has to have a Charizard.
Oh, they could bring back Ash and Pikachu. They haven't. That could be recycled.
Yeah. I mean, they'll probably do a bunch of the Signasuit stuff leading up to it like they always do. So we might get Leon and Eternatus back.
You know, we might get Ash and Pikachu and Leon and Charizard closer.
Yeah.
To the... This is a good transition. Closer to when the episodes finally air in America, which is on starting June 23rd. Tune in to see Ash battle Leon in the Master. Well, they just go ahead and spoil that whole thing. I guess it doesn't matter, right? We already know he wins.
I mean,
it's already been spoiled.
It's already there. Like, come on.
Part 3 coming to Netflix. This is off Pokemon.com. Don't even watch our anime. Here's just everything that happened.
Yeah.
The Master 8s tournament is underway in this collection of 15 episodes. Come together with Ash and Pikachu as they face some of their toughest opponents ever. This all leads to Ash's dramatic battle against the Galar champion Leon for the title of world champion. So that will start in about a month on Netflix. Which, you know, look, you know Batman's going to win at the end of the movie. You know that...
Depends if there's a part 2.
Yeah. If we didn't know the ending, if we didn't know that the next season of the Pokemon anime wasn't going to have Ash as the main character, you could still question whether you would win, but all the answers are right here in
they've
the
already
the website. On the website.
They've already stated.
You know, we were debating whether or not they would continue with Ash. And I think on this show, I definitely said there's no way they get rid of Ash. This is a worse timeline. Not only are we getting rid of him, but we're just going to tell you how it ends.
Oh, boy.
You don't get the satisfaction, America.
We're just going to rip that from your hands. You don't deserve it. You've been bad people.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, hey, that's coming to Netflix. So I think, it would probably be around October we would finally get to see the new anime.
Maybe they'll hold off until November-ish or whenever. Maybe they'll release the first part of the DLC around the time we finally get.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice to be playing the DLC and being able to watch it. It's gosh, at this point, it's hard to even click on Serebii and like scroll down and look at news and be like, oh, well, I guess that's happening in the new anime. Great. Cool. I'll wait another 18 months to see that happen.
Yeah, there's some real cool stuff, it seems like, but
hey, I heard they showed a new Pokemon.
Just come on. Simulcast exists. Just come on.
We'll get the simulcast when Sword and Shield updates with levels next to the Annihilate players, so we know if they even
so
level.
The 12th of never.
Sword and Shield, sure.
North American International Champion. I think this is our last bit of news. The NAIC, the final international championships for the 2023 season. This will be for the Pokemon trading card game, the video game, Pokemon Go. And then the event will also host the Pokemon Unite North American Regional Finals. This will be at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Halls A and B. That will take place on Friday, June 30th through Sunday, June 2nd. Some tournaments will begin on Friday, June 30th, which I think is Unite. And I think there might be. No, I don't think it. There is any last chance qualifiers for this. There will be event registration for the TCG video game Pokemon Go. There will be three waves. If you like waking up early, wave one will be May 17th at 6 a.m. Pacific time. Wave two, May 17th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And wave three will be May 18th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So you pretty much go to the website, you register, you pay. Milwaukee Regionals was like $84 to compete in the video game. I'm assuming it's probably the same price, if not a little bit higher here for NAIC. If you don't want to compete, which I don't blame you, and you just want to go, there will be spectator badges. Spectator badges from last I checked were about $9 to $12. They're relatively cheap, and usually you get like two free booster packs of whatever random card game they have. I don't know, maybe you'll get some Crimson Invasion. Wave 1 will be, again, 6 a.m. on May 17th. Wave 2, May 17th at 2 p.m., all Pacific times here. May 18th, 10 a.m., and then you will be able to pick up your spectator badges near Exhibit A starting on Thursday, June 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. I would recommend that if you do get to the convention center early or you are in town, like get it on Thursday if you can. I know you probably want to get like Ruth's Steakhouse or something with your friends, but like just go get your pass first. It'll be worth it the next days. I promise you it'll be worth it. Otherwise, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to pick up your badges. There will be side events. And the big news here, Ohio getting one good thing. So take it for what it's worth, Ohioans. The Pokemon Center pop-up store will return, and they will have a lot of event-exclusive Pokemon products. It is open to the public. You do not need a badge to get in. That's awesome. That's really great. If you saw the Pokemon pop-up center in London or in Melbourne, Australia, it was very like, man, I wish I was there. It looked great. It looked really good.
Also, it's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Oh my.
Get the name right or don't get it at all.
Why am I even doing this podcast? I can't even get the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse right.
2013 Ruth's Steakhouse.
Look, you know, Chris isn't as great as Ruth, you know.
I actually did do the research as to why it's called that, so if you want to know why, you can hit me up.
Okay. Attendees can also participate in the Play Lab, which is, they've been doing these at, like, I think there was one at PAX, I think they did one at Gen Con one year. These are the hands-on, we'll teach you a TCG, we'll give you a couple free booster packs for playing. You don't need a badge for that either.
I'm pretty sure they had that pop up at the Pokemon Regionals.
Yes, I think
Portland,
most
Portland Regionals, probably all of the Regionals.
So yeah, this is a lot. You know, people always ask, like, hey, there's a regionals in Daytona Beach. I'm from Miami. Should I drive out there? And I'm always like, you know, usually there's a couple of vendors, you know, they're kind of overpriced, but you get to be around Pokemon people. Sometimes there's like Pokemon Go stuff. North America and international championships, you know, if you're an hour or two away, I think it's 100% worth going as a Pokemon fan. Obviously, the more Pokemon you like, the better. But I, you know, Pokemon Go in the area, the Pokemon pop-up center, watching matches. I do think that this is probably worth a. I don't know if it's worth like a plane ticket and, you know, a hotel if if you're just spectating. But to anyone in Ohio, if you are within driving distance, I think this is worth visiting for sure. And we're not getting a Worlds in America this year. So if you need that Pokemon in-person itch, you don't have a lot of options.
There's still Go Fest.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. There's still Go Fest. For a bare minimum of $100 for your weekend, that'll at least get you the ticket.
Not a minimum. Ticket's 25.
I will be at the North American International Championship. You know, I was going to go to the Milwaukee one because it's about a five-hour drive. But I found out my hairstylist in Milwaukee, who I love dearly. She's fantastic. So selfish of her. Apparently, she's having another baby. So is Pokemon was worth it with a possibility of a haircut. But no haircut. I don't know if Pokemon's worth it at that point.
It's not worth a five-hour drive for Pokemon. That's where we've gotten to.
but you throw on a haircut, a good haircut, and I'm in. So yeah, I'm still on the fence about Milwaukee now.
When is the Milwaukee? When is it?
End of this month. 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to the very end of the Portland Regionals. Wish I had gotten to go there earlier and actually met some of the people who were there who I would be interested in kind of hanging out with.
Do you remember?
Ultimately,
how much
I just kind of wandered.
Spectator pass was?
Spectator ticket was $5.
What? It was only $5 for you?
Yep.
Was it a one day or was it a week? Was it a weekend?
I think there was only one option, so I think that it was for the full weekend.
Hmm. I think when I was looking at Milwaukee, it was like 11.
Weird.
Yeah, to compete in Milwaukee was, I think it was like $80, and I was like, yeah. 5 hours and $80
to 80 to compete. I had considered trying the Pokemon Go competitive this time around, but I'm not good enough for $70 to be worth it.
Yeah, that's crazy, because I almost did the Pokemon Go last year in Milwaukee because it was faster. Like, <Yeah. laughs> matches are much quicker. The structure is a lot quicker. And then it's just like, it's so hard. Maybe the Silver Road closing is a bad thing. It's so hard for somebody who wants to maybe compete and then to be hit with that price tag.
Yeah.
Like, I get that there are rewards at the end and it pays for the rewards, like booster boxes and prize money and travel stipends. I totally understand that. I guess maybe that's where the
$70 just to compete.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being like, I know I'm not good, but the only way I'm going to get better is by participating. But that's still a lot of money to be like, I know I'm not going to walk away with anything except I guess there's side tournaments and stuff like that.
Like, yeah, that's where the grassroots stuff mostly comes in.
Yeah, I know there was last year. At Worlds in London, there was like a topsy-turny tournament where it was like one of the side tournaments that Pokemon was putting on, but you had to play with your Switch upside down and you had to do the whole match. And that was like a tournament structure.
I love that.
They have stuff where like you can only bring like middle evolutions, or they'll have like Pokemon Stadium. Like, they have a bunch of like side tournaments, and it's, you know, as fun as the organizers lead it up to be. And sometimes they have older side tournaments where it's like, oh, the, you know, bring your copy of X and Y and bring your X and Y, you know, competitive team, and we'll go back and suffer through Mega Evolution for 20 minutes.
Spectator badges for Milwaukee are $10.55.
Ooh, they get you on the 55.
I wonder why it's twice as expensive as it was here.
Maybe Portland desperate for spectators? I don't know. Was it crowded? Like,
It was sold out. I mean, I had to get the second round of spectator badges because it was completely sold out. I had to wait till Saturday afternoon.
Well, they hand you like a donut with like tricks on it and like slap a coffee in your hand when you walked in. That's like the Portland experience, right?
That is the stereotypical Portland experience. That's what tourists go for. But no, I got a wristband. I still have it on my bookshelf.
But did they put a bird on it? That's the question.
How many donut food trucks were outside the convention center?
None.
What?
There were no food trucks.
What? I'm out.
That I saw. There were no food trucks that I saw. Of course, I was there only on the Sunday. I wasn't there on the big day.
How many vendors did they have?
There were three or four independent vendors, I think, maybe five. Yeah, and then there was the TCG stand.
And I would assume plushes were slightly overpriced.
Yeah, as it goes.
As it goes, yeah.
Pretty much anywhere you find Pokemon plushes, they're going to be overpriced in one way or another.
That's like the one really nice thing about the pop-up Pokemon Center is they're official normal priced plushes. I guess the downside is usually when there's a pop-up Pokemon Center, they don't allow vendors to compete because pricing or shops. But then the cool thing I guess about vendors is sometimes they have like Japanese plushes that have never come to America, or they have some Japanese merch. But you definitely pay for that. Like, you could probably find it cheaper online, but then you have to wait like 6 years for it to be put on a boat because shipping.
Or pay $40 for shipping.
Yeah.
It's very capitalism strikes again.
I will say, so I've been speaking of capitalism, I've been searching just because I get bored in between searching for jobs. So there is a website that's sold things that are coming direct from manufacturers from China. And I am so tempted by the giant 160 piece Pokemon knockoff like minifigures, like this just big box full of little made by the Pokemon company knockoff figurines, and I'm so tempted to buy it.
Oh, you mean like the little figures, like little action plastic figures.
Yeah, like a little plastic figures.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Nanoblox stuff, because the Nanoblox stuff is official.
No, this is clearly to put in, like, there's an advent calendar that I almost bought that was the not official Pokemon advent calendar that also had, like, some of the most distressed-looking Pokemon knockoffs I've ever seen in my life. I'm so tempted by this giant box. If I had a job, I'd be like, yeah. Fire it up.
You can find those at comic book stores or game stores sometimes, and you can just find some really messed up looking almost Pokemon.
And I could get this sent straight to my home, a giant box of random warped Pokemon for the low price of like $10.
I mean, if you don't like it, you could probably use it as a weapon and scatter them across the floor, and then when somebody wakes up, their feet are done for.
They're done.
That's our show for you guys today. I don't know why I laughed so much this episode. It was pretty good. But we will be back next week. Look, I'm assuming that next week, after we're done recording, they will announce another 7-star raid, because boy, the Pokemon company will allow no weekend to go empty here.
Yeah.
So our only two raid Pokemon left in the game code would be Delphox and Rillaboom. Don't know if they're going to do two grass Pokemon back to back, but they did start off with two fire Pokemon at the beginning of all of this.
Their Terra type fixes all of that.
Yeah, sure. That's true. There is no Feraligatr. There is no Incineroar. There is no Meganium in the game code currently. We've talked about this. I know people are like, where's the Empoleon? It's not on the game right now. When they're out of starters, I don't know. They got two left. I don't know what they're going to do besides maybe repeat. I think if I do the math correctly, they could technically take Charizard, Cinderace, Greninja, and repeat them once a week. And that would pretty much get us all through summer. And I don't think that's a bad thing to do. I mean, plenty of people have missed Cinderace or
all of the kids who are just getting into, or all of the people who are just getting into summer vacation and things like that. This would be a great time for everybody to catch up on any raids they missed.
So I'm not saying they're going to do that. I'm just saying that like the math kind of lines up. If they take everything they've released, they can get another like 2.5 months by just repeating these. I don't know. They could put like Hisuian Pokemon in raid. Like it doesn't have to be a starter, right? It could be any, a 7-star doesn't have to be a starter. It could be whatever they want it to be. So, they could do Hisuian. We are officially in the, they have 1 month left of Pokemon Home. no, it's the 21st for summer, right? First day of summer is the 21st.
It is the 21st of June.
So they have 1 month and a week of maybe Home will come out. I think there were rumors that it was coming out on the 18th, but I think those rumors also said that I saw a rumor that it was supposed to come out on May 18th, but I'm pretty sure that rumor also said that GoFest was going to be in Tokyo and Central Park for New York, and both of those were wrong. I mean, the New York was right.
Yeah.
But the Tokyo is very, like, wrong. It's in Osaka. So I don't know how much
faith it's in Japan.
Look, it's all of Japan. Look, it's going to be in the United States, Greg.
What part do you want?
Surprise, surprise.
So I don't know if I trust that rumor, but I don't know. Maybe it comes out. Who knows? It can't come out. If it comes out, what else are we going to complain about?
Oh, there'll be plenty. Don't worry. If you've been listening to this show since it started, there is plenty to complain about.
Well, you can complain that the podcast is now over. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Greg. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Still trying to figure out which summer Pokemon events we'll all make it to, or each of us will make it to, if any, super effective.
Look, I'm going to open up a Patreon or GoFundMe. If you want me in New York, GoFundMe, because I can't fund myself.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.